Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You want to get your Bible at this time and turn to Acts chapters 6 and 7. And we're going to look at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of April the 26th, 1925, on Stephen, the first martyr. Now, I want you to note what it says in Acts chapter 6. And verse 9. But there arose certain of them which were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. In just a moment, we're going to look at a geographical note that will help explain some of this in Acts chapters 6 and verse 9. Before we go there, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by these old Sunday school lessons. This for the Sundays of April the 26th, 1925. Now let's look at that verse again and look at our notes. Here's what it says. There arose certain of them, which were of the synagogue called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Here are the notes. The Cyrenians were the people of Cyrene, a city in the northern part of Africa. Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross for Jesus, Matthew 27:32. Some of those from Cyrene became Christians, according to Acts 2, verses 10, and Acts 11 and verse 20. And upon this persecution which rose against Stephen, went so far as Antioch, and preached Jesus unto the Grecians. Lucius of Cyrene was one of the prophets at Antioch, who separated Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto God had called them. Now the verse mentions the synagogue of the Alexandrians. Alexandrians were Jews from the famous city of Alexandria in Egypt, which was founded by Alexander the Great and named for him. He offered great inducement to the Jews to settle there. And then there's Cilicia. This was the province of which Tarsus was the capital. In this city, Saul, afterward called Paul, was brought up. He was doubtless present and probably took leading part in the contentions against Stephen. And then Asia. Well, Asia was then a Roman province, of which Ephesus was the capital. Asia then did not represent the continent we call Asia, or what we call Asia Minor. Now here's some helps and hints for the teacher. We do not know the time of this lesson, that is, how long after the beginning of the church on Pentecost. As after the first persecution, so after the second, Luke turns to the internal conditions of the church. About this time, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The daily ministration was the distribution to all as every man had need. The Grecian Jews were Jews born and reared out of Palestine and who spoke the Greek language. The Hebrews were Jews of Palestine. This neglect was not intentional on the part of the apostles, but doubtless arose from the difficulty of looking after so many and the continued increase of the church. It was not proper that the apostles should neglect preaching and praying to look after this manner or to serve tables. The Holy Spirit guided them, and the suggestion that the multitude of the disciples, or the church, should look out among them seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom they might appoint over this business. The wisdom of this suggestion was readily seen by all, and it averted further disturbance and preserved the unity and peace among the disciples previously described. The church then looked out these seven men, and the apostles appointed them. Their names are Grecian, which shows that the Grecians were wisely appointed to look after the wants of their own widows. Nicholas was not of Jewish birth, but was a proselyte of Antioch. Now, proselyte was a Gentile who had accepted the religion of the Jews and had been circumcised. The apostles continued steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. The way in which the apostles connected preaching and praying steadfastly should impress seriously not only all preachers, but also everyone. It is also stated that when these seven had been looked out, they were set before the apostles, and when the apostles had prayed, they laid hands on them. The peace, love, and abundant generosity of the church almost always ensures a great increase. With the seven men to look after these widows, the apostles had more time for praying and preaching. Besides, some of the least of the seven soon became preachers. None show more clearly the power of the gospel as the statement, "And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Obedient to the faith. That's very expressive. It means the obedience to the faith which Jesus leads. The expression stands for the gospel system, and it's found in several passages in the New Testament. We read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul said, "Through whom we receive grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith among all nations for his name's sake." At the very end of the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, "But now is manifested in by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all nations unto obedience of faith." After a similar manner, we read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. "Try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless ye be reprobate?" We should consider Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, which says, "But they only heard say, he that once persecuted us now preacheth the faith of which he once made havoc." And in the book of Jude, and verse 3, we read, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." It is stated here that many priests became obedient to the faith in order to show the great effect of the Word of God. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, "Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people." Stephen did these great wonders and signs through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the first preacher since the ascension of Jesus, except the apostles, whose work is mentioned. And he is the first one since then, except the apostles, who is reported to have worked miracles, although the 70 was sent out by Jesus to work miracles in Luke chapter 10. The use of present opportunities doubtless prepared them for greater usefulness. Besides, God requires of all the proper use of their time and of their ability. We read about Philip, who was chosen with Stephen. Philip also became an evangelist. No mention is made of the other five, but that fact does not show that they were not busy serving God as time and opportunity afforded. But few of the apostles are mentioned afterward by name. Now, Stephen was contending with the Jews. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 9 we read, "But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." It is said that there were between 460 and 480 synagogues in Jerusalem. These were places where the Jews met for worship on Saturday, the Sabbath. The Libertines were freedmen. Thousands of Jews had been sold into slavery by their conquerors and had been set at liberty again. Hence, they were Libertines, or freedmen. They had a synagogue in Jerusalem. The Jews at Jerusalem from the different countries probably had their separate synagogues. If not, they all met in the synagogues of the freedmen. These were all the Grecian Jews, and Stephen also, a Grecian Jew, probably sought to teach them the gospel of Jesus. They were disputing with Stephen, that is, discussing the questions in open debate which had arisen concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. Up to this time, the Sadducees had headed the persecutions against the church. But now the Pharisees came prominently to the front again in this matter. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, and they brought false witnesses and false charges. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "They were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men who said, 'We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came to him and seized him and brought him to the council." Those who engaged in this debate with Stephen were not able to meet him for two reasons, namely, the truth which he presented and the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake it. He presented the gospel and the wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit. Debates today conducted in the wisdom and love of the truth and power of the Holy Spirit will accomplish good. But would many contend for the truth in the face of death? When men do not intend to receive truth and find that they cannot overthrow it in fair and open discussion, they resort to misrepresentation and violence, or to both, as in Stephen's case. Then they suborned men, that is, they bribed them to go in among the people and pervert and misrepresent the teachings of Stephen. They said, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." The Sadducees, endeavoring to put down the preaching of the apostles by authority, by simply commanded them by the authority of the Jewish high court not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This effort utterly failed. The Pharisees sought to convict Stephen of blasphemy. According to the law of Moses, real blasphemy is punishable with death. Luke chapter 24, 16, stoning to death. They made this charge against Jesus. "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God," John 19 and verse 7. But Stephen was not guilty. They falsely accused him. He spoke in the greatest respect for Moses and reverence to God, and all that God had promised through Abraham and Moses he had fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And that the fathers had rejected Moses in that generation are the ones who are now rejecting Jesus. And they that believe Moses had been prepared to believe and accept Jesus. We'll continue next class.